Hi. So, July 26, 1979, my sister Rebecca Emily Kahn was born, and then a quick 16 months later, I was born. And in my sister's retelling of her life, she will tell you she had 16 months of everything, and then I came along behind her and destroyed it all. The day my sister turned 16 years old, she got her driver's license, and my parents surprised her with a cherry red 1988 Dodge Shadow. Now, I don't want you to be caught up by the mystical name and the color. This was not a hot rod. This was a dump of a car. This was U.S. automobile manufacturing in the 80s. This was like the epitome of everything that went wrong in this industry. It was like two tin boxes stacked on top of each other, painted red, lined with plastic. Nothing worked. But that didn't matter because this was my sister's car, and she loved it. It was her first car, and she took so much pride in it. And for 16 months, she drove it around Northeast Philadelphia with just a great sense of ownership and being. And then 16 months later, it was my birthday, and what did I get for my birthday? The keys to my sister's car. So this is Northeast Philadelphia in the mid-90s, and we were young, and we were wild, and we were Jewish. And while everybody else was celebrating Christmas over the Christmas break, we were part of this Jewish youth group, and we had a convention of Jewish youth groups that was going to be happening in North Jersey. And my sister was a big shot in this Jewish youth group, so she went up a couple days in advance, but I was not a big shot. And so I was going to take the charter bus, which was leaving from the Jewish Community Center of Northeast Philadelphia, up to 95. And so this is a little before Christmas, and school ended, and I hopped into the 1988 Dodge Shadow, and I drove to the JCC parking lot. It was jumping. Like, it was really rocking over there at the JCC. And I guess there was like a gym in there, and maybe everybody's working off their calories because they're going to gorge themselves on Chinese food, whatever it was. There was no parking spots except all the way in the far corner of the lot where the streetlights didn't hit, you know, where all the broken glass was, you know, that spot that you never want to park in. That was the only spot left. And I drove the car over there and I parked it and I didn't really think anything of it. And I grabbed my bags and I locked the car and then I went to the Jewish youth group convention. And now it's like 20 some odd years later. And to be honest, I don't remember a thing that happened at that convention. What I do remember is getting off the bus on our way back. And my sister is with me at this point. And we get off the bus and we look in the parking lot and we don't see the gleam coming off the red of the Dodge Shadow. And then I remembered I parked the car all the way in that corner in that spot. And so I walked over to the corner of the lot and there, still warm to the touch, was the burnt out shell of my sister's happiness. Yeah, now this car was burnt to a crisp, and I honestly probably wouldn't even thought it was our car, except my homework was sitting kind of burnt off to the side of the car, and I knew it was our car at that point. And my sister, her rage just glowed at that moment. She was sure that I had done something wrong. If I didn't personally just like leave the car on or something to light it on fire, then what idiot parks their car in that spot in the lot? Well, eventually the police came and they kind of tempered her rage a little bit. They said a few other cars had had some minor vandalism, so she calmed down a little bit. And then the police, we got to love the police, they said, but you know what? Your car probably got caught on fire because you left it in this dark spot in the corner of the lot. And then her rage just burnt with a passion that only a sibling's rage can burn. And it was a rage that lasted throughout the Christmas break into early 1997. The new year came. When we got this bill in the mail. Now, what we forgot was in the trunk of the car was one of those old cellular telephones. You know, before the days of smartphones, there were those bag phones, those cellular phones that you would keep in your car and you plug into your lighter, and they charge you like $5-7 a minute. And my parents, under no uncertain terms, were we allowed to use this phone except for in case of emergency. So it just really sat in our car. Despite this car being a piece of junk, we rarely had to pull the phone out. But we get this bill in the mail, and there's seven phone calls made, all originating on the night that this car was blown up. This is the part of the story where I introduce my mother. My mother's a very interesting human being. She taught for 33 years high school in the Philadelphia School District. And she's one of those people, I think you know these people, they are teachers for so long that the line between home life and teaching life is really blurred. She would always speak at like a very high volume, like she was lecturing us and my friends. She had this weird obsession about wearing hats inside. But most importantly, she had just like this deep intrinsic understanding of the stupidity of teenagers, which was very beneficial to me. So we get this bill in the mail, and what she might have done at this point was call the police and turn this over, but that's not what she did. What she did was she took the seven numbers and divided them up amongst my sister and I and said, okay, you guys are calling these and figuring out who let the car on fire. So we don't disagree with our mother ever because she talks very loudly. And so we started calling these numbers. Now, do you know the term snitches get stitches? You know that? Well, in the winter of 1997 in Northeast Philadelphia, loose lips sank ships, and at the end of every one of those calls was a teenager, and they all flipped. They all turned out in one kid. They're like, oh, it's this one guy. So we knew who it was, and we went to my mother, and we said every number was a teenager, and everyone said it was this one kid who did it. Now, what my mother could have done at this point was she could have called the police, but she didn't do that. What she did was call this kid up. And she didn't. He picked up the phone, but then she asked for his mom, which is like as a kid, that's the worst thing. And over a series of conversations, over a course of a few days, she learned a lot about this kid and found out that he was going through a really tough period of his life and was skipping school a lot and getting into a lot of trouble. And so she made a deal with the parents. She said, "Okay, I can either once again I can call the police and turn your son in, or he can start going to therapy, and then he can get a job." And he himself has to pay us the difference between the insurance money we got for the 1988 Dodge Shadow and the fancy 1989 Toyota Camry, Japanese made, very nice car. And so, of course, they took that deal. And then for a couple years, every week or so, we would get in the mail an envelope. And in the envelope would be like $30 or $40 that he would make slinging pizzas at the Northeast Philadelphia Pizza Joint. And then every Christmas, we would get a letter. And that letter, he would recount all the good things that happened to his life since that moment my mother called his mother. Very beautiful thing. And that's kind of the end of the story. There's no, like, Hollywood ending where, like, you know, he marries my sister or, like, they come over for Thanksgiving. We, like, you know, he paid off his debt and we stopped hearing about him. And that's the end of the story. Right? But I think about the story now a lot because in the age of social media, in 2019 this happened, what would have happened is my sister and I would have gotten off the bus and then we would have seen the burnt out shell of her happiness. And we would have taken a photo on our cell phones and we would have posted it to Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever the kids are using these days. And it would have gone viral as an act of anti-Semitism. And how wrong would that have been? I mean, he lit a car on fire on Christmas at a Jewish community center parking lot. But that's not what happened. So I hope wherever he is, you know, he's probably about my age now, and I hope that he can take a moment and be thankful that he was a stupid kid at a time when it was okay to be a stupid kid, and that his path crossed paths with my mother.